Cape Talk. Call Pippa now on 021-446-0567.
Now to talk cars. Chiro de Siena, our motoring journalist from cars.co.za, is with us on the line, and you can call in on 021-446-0567 if you've got a motoring question for him. You're also very welcome to leave a voice note on 072-567-1567. Chiro, something a little different for your car review today. It's one that's going to make the campers in the audience green with envy, I believe.
Yeah, thanks, Pippa. So yesterday I had the privilege of driving a very special vehicle, fully customized by a South African company called Alucab. They're in itself quite an impressive success story, and I think something South Africans can be proud of. They're exporting all over the world, some really, really nice camping products and aftermarket Bucky products.
Okay.
But the car I drove yesterday, was the base of it was the new Toyota Hilux. But onto the back of that, my goodness, how much time do we have? So there was a special camping canopy, which is built out of aluminium and fits on the load bed. So they remove the load bed door, that goes. And then in place of that, you get this sort of, it's sort of an aluminium shell to which you can then bolt on pretty much whatever you want. And this particular unit had an incredible rooftop tent, which sort of had a clamshell design. So it was gas, it had gas struts, and all you had to do really was sort of pop it up, and then instantly you just have this very comfortable, very spacious space to sleep at night, and you're off the ground and away from the creepy crawlies and any large animals that might want to run over you in the night. I quite liked it. I'd actually never been inside a roof tent on top of a vehicle, and I thought it was actually very, very cool innovation. On top of the roof tent was then a large solar panel, and the car was fitted with power inverters and batteries. And so you can run, it had two big fridges as well.
Oh, wow.
It had an ice maker.
No way.
Of all things. I know that. I think that impressed me the most. Proper three-prong power supply, lots of USB ports to charge phones and all that sort of thing. So you can kind of be off the grid, actually. Wherever you end up going. Then it had this awning, which sort of fitted to the side of the vehicle, and it spun around, it opened up in 270 degrees. It almost wrapped around the entire vehicle. And that was a bit of a game changer. You know, yesterday was quite hot out on set where we were shooting. And there was just so much shade, you know, and it just makes the whole experience a lot more comfortable. There's a gas cooker as well, and then a really nice treat that I thought was that I'd never see in a car. There was a little fireplace.
What? A fireplace in a car?
Yeah, so it's gas operated, and it kind of is made to look like an old school fireplace, and a little chimney which goes out the side of the aluminium shell.
No way.
And it runs off the gas supply, and basically the idea is that at night you can, because the shell and the sort of aluminium shell in the rooftop tent area is connected, you turn that on at night and it sort of warms up the whole thing, and you know, it while you sleep, kind of thing.
Amazing. So you can brine your tent and keep the tent warm without even leaving the vehicle. I mean, it's just extraordinary.
Yeah, for real hardcore overlanders, I don't think it gets much better than that, really. The car itself had to be modified a bit because you're adding all this extra weight, and because the weight's quite high up, there's quite significantly uprated suspension and brakes, larger wheels and tires as well, much larger tires, actually. You get the feeling you could literally go anywhere in a car like that. And I think its on-road dynamics are definitely a bit compromised. I don't think you want to swerve too hard in something like that because the center of gravity has changed quite a lot in the vehicle. But it felt very, very stable at highway speed. You know, there was no, it didn't feel particularly like it was a wallowy or sort of, you know, the weight was shifting from side to side. I think that was down to the uprated suspension. And the other thing I found impressive was even with all the extra things on the top of the car, there was no extra wind noise, which is sometimes an issue when you add things to the roof of cars. So all in all, a very well-executed product, I think, and I think something South Africans can be proud of and obviously made to, you know, to really explore our country and our continent.
So, Chiro, if somebody is going, I want that, that's got to go in my Christmas stocking, who do they need to be speaking to about custom fitting this, all the gadgets you've just told us about?
So it's AluCab, ALU-CAB, based in Ottery in Cape Town. They'll pretty much work with anything, you know, if you've got a Ford Ranger or Mitsubishi or whatever it is, they'll, you know, they'll make it work for you. And let me get back to you on the price. I was actually, sorry, I'm in a shoot area with poor signal. I couldn't get to the pricing. So as soon as I get off air, I'll send it to Rafik for you, and maybe you can just let the listeners know what the pricing is on the whole exercise.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm the sort of person who, I mean, you know, you're probably in for about $1 million for all of this. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, I could stay in a lot of really nice hotels for R1 million around the world. I'm not sure overlanding's for me. But if it is for you, then, you know, this is about as good as it gets, I think.
Okay, thanks for the heads up, Chiron. And as you say, if you're not partial to the wiggly, crawly things on the ground beneath the tent, here's a perfect, perfect solution. Okay, interesting car review. The not-so-happy part to talk about is the news of the week, which is the looming predictions around the fuel price increases next month. It's really catastrophic was the term the AA used, and you can't disagree.
Yeah, we're looking at close to a rand, aren't we, increase potentially. So how the AA forecasting works is they're actually not involved in the pricing of fuel, which I think sometimes is a misconception in the market because they're so active around the fuel price in the media, but it's up to the Department of Mineral Resources. And what the AA does do, however, is looks at all the factors that plug into the petrol price, and then they do a mid-month prediction and then an end-of-month prediction before the announcement from the department. So their prediction at the moment, given how everything is moving and given the sort of forecasting around the price of Brent crude, is that the AA is saying we might be at 20 rand a litre before the end of the year. And that is enough to make South Africans a bit miserable, I think. You know, my mind immediately goes to, well, electricity is still a lot cheaper than petrol. Hopefully EVs get cheap soon. And funny enough, we've reviewed it on the show before, Pippa, but I'm actually sitting in the Toyota Corolla Hybrid.
Yeah, as we speak, okay.
Yeah, as I speak to you. And this car is, I've been driving it for a month now. I'm averaging 5 liters to the 100, which if you translate that the other way around, that means for every liter of petrol, you're doing 20 kilometers. And I do think that there is a big case to be made for A, downsizing your vehicle potentially, but also B, looking for a more efficient vehicle. The hybrid tech is getting better all the time, and it's getting cheaper as well, which is great. But of course, if you downgrade to a small diesel as well, you'll get the benefits from fuel efficiency as well.
Okay, thanks for the heads up there. 99 cents per litre is the prediction for petrol. 1.42 rand per litre increase for diesel and paraffin is what the AA thinks we should be expecting. And possibly brace yourself for petrol going over 20 rand a litre by the end of the year is what they're telling us. And of course, everything else, knock-on price increases follow from that. Okay, on that depressing note, let's move on to some listener questions. And starting with an email in from William. Chiro, he would like to know, when you're purchasing a pre-owned vehicle from a dealership, can you ask for the contact details of the previous owner of the vehicle to find out its history? And are they obliged to give it to you? My immediate response was, I'm guessing Poppy would come into play here. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think even before Poppy, I'm not sure that would be accepted practice. I'm not sure there's actually a law against it. I don't think it's illegal, but at the same time, if I'm the previous owner of a vehicle, I don't think I want my details handed around.
I mean,
potentially, what you could do, I suppose, is ask the dealer to ask the previous owner if they would mind their contact details being passed on, and then it's their choice, and you know they're not obligated to do it, of course. I get the want and the need for it, right? You to speak to the previous owner, you might find out information, say, that the dealer doesn't even know or is choosing to omit. So it is a nice sort of insurance policy when buying a second-hand vehicle, but I don't think it's established practice. And now, given Poppy, obviously, I think then it now would probably be illegal, actually.
You'd have to get explicit permission. The same as we have to do if somebody asks for a guest details. We have to ask the guest, may we share your info with a listener who's asked? And if they say yes, then it's fine. And if they say no, then it's not. Okay, so William, please do bear that in mind. And then, okay, we've got a couple of voice notes already in. So let's start with one or two of those before we go just see a whole new batch has just dropped in. But let's start with the two that were already lined up at the start of the show, eager to get their question asked. Let's take a listen.
Hi there. I hear that the car talk is on. We have a 2012 Forester Subaru, and we're looking to upgrade. Apparently, they're very hard to come by at the moment. We won't be able to buy new, but we'd look for like a 2018 model, something like that. Have you got any ideas or recommendations of an alternate vehicle similar to our Subaru? We've been so happy with it. It's Sasha. Thank you so much. Bye.
Thanks, Sasha. Any thoughts, Chiro?
Yeah, Subaru. I actually, funny enough, I had a meeting with Subaru South Africa last week. They have been quite heavily affected by the semiconductor crisis, as of many manufacturers. So they're struggling for new stock, but as the listener said, they're looking used anyway. I became quite friendly with a Subaru dealer a few years ago, and he told me that one of the issues with Foresters in particular is that dealers really struggle to get secondhand stock onto their floors because the owners don't want to get rid of them, which is, I think, a pretty good, praise for a vehicle. So you might struggle to find a 2018 Subaru or maybe a low mileage one, for instance. So alternatively, you are shopping in what is quite possibly the most crowded segment in the market. So by the last time I did a count on this segment, in terms of sort of rough vehicle size and rough pricing, I counted 16 vehicles in the segment, which is a little bit difficult, obviously, for me to remember all 16 of them. But to try and rattle off a few, you're looking at Kia Sportage, Mazda CX-5, Hyundai Tucson, Toyota RAV4, Nissan X-Trail. What else is in that segment? It's a real massive selection. From India, there's the Mahindra XUV 500 as well, which is potentially something to look at. Now there's the Haval H6, which has entered in. So actually, that's probably now the 17th vehicle in that segment. I think any of those that I've just mentioned, I'd take a look at. In terms of off-road ability, if you were using that capability of your Forester, because it is quite capable off-road, then I think the only car that would really match that for me, because the rest of them are sort of more on-road buyers, is the Nissan X-Trail. So that's probably what I would go look at first.
Okay. Thanks for the advice there, and good luck, Sasha, with the purchase. Okay, the next voice note, I think, is to do with a Fortuna. Let's take a listen.
A quick question for Chiro. I'm looking at changing my Fortuna to something a little bit more fuel efficient. I've got a diesel 3-litre Fortuna, and it is definitely a bit of a guzzler. But what I would love to keep is the automatic and the three rows of seats, but something that is definitely a little bit more fuel efficient. I don't need to tow with it, and I won't be doing any off-road. So just wanted to see your thoughts of what could be a good vehicle to convert to. I've absolutely loved the Fortuna, but just the fuel price now is just really not manageable. Just let me know if you've got some advice.
Thanks for that. Any thoughts, Chiro?
Yeah, and I think what this listener has expressed is where I think many South Africans' heads are right now, and where their headspace is going to be, especially if that very psychological barrier of 20 Rand is broken for a litre of fuel. So yeah, downsizing is definitely going to be happening. I would say, just generally speaking on this topic, do be careful when you downsize, because sometimes you think to yourself, okay, I'm going to get into a small turbocharged petrol engine, into a little SUV or something with a small turbocharged petrol, and then it ends up consuming roughly the same as the car you just came out of. So to really dramatically reduce fuel consumption, you want to go turbocharged diesel, modern diesel, or hybrid, as I've been saying. Interestingly, there is going to be the first hybrid SUV on the market now. So not a plug-in hybrid, which we have had before, but a sort of Toyota-style hybrid where you don't have to plug in the car. And that's going to be in the form of the RAV4, which is quite interesting. The only issue is, though, that she mentioned she needs three rows of seats. That then throws the equation out a little bit. And I wonder if the listener might be willing to change completely away from the format of car she's used to, which is the Fortuna, and go to something like an MPV, because there are actually quite a lot of MPV choices on the market. Funnily enough, Toyota just launched one called the Roomion. However, the Roomion is just a rebadged Suzuki Ertiga. So Toyota and Suzuki just selling the same cars these days, which I find quite interesting. So Honda BRV, Toyota Roomion, Suzuki Ertiga, and Mitsubishi Expander would be the four cars that you could look at with three rows of seats. And across the range, the Suzuki is going to be the best on fuel by far. Well, also the Toyota now, I suppose, because it's the same car.
Yeah.
The rest of them, yeah, you'll probably reduce your fuel bill by, they're all small turbo petrol, so you maybe reduce it by about 20%. Unless you go for the Suzuki, then you might reduce it by about 40%.
Okay, Chiro, thank you. And we have to leave it there due to time constraints. As always, thank you so much for the time and effort you put into helping our listeners. We always value and appreciate your advice. Thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Chiro de Siena of cars.co.za. For more of his work, check out that website. And don't forget to look for their YouTube channel as well.